This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To hell, to a tongue of Iowa, Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Our Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of
food. Our Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo!
Yeah, Tobin.
Did you turn your mic off?
I did. I lowered my mic instead of the actual.
He faded himself out.
Yeah, I was acting a little extra effect.
I love how we all looked at you.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Usually on StreamYard, I'd be able to hide this. Oh, the computer's acting. I do have to restart the computer, though. So
really?
Mine also gave me a message, but I postponed it.
Yeah, well,
what is it?
I had no choice.
Do they do hourly software updates on these computers?
No. Here's the thing.
Write a ticket.
Everybody, like, I guess they have it in a system that's supposed to update ever so often. But if somebody's on air, they just keep dismissing.
Sure,
they
keep pushing it back.
So eventually somebody forgets to hit dismiss, and that's what happens.
Yeah. Because I got messages on this one as well.
God forbid they should do it when nobody's here.
Huh.
That would be after 6 o'clock.
Too much work.
Yeah. There you go.
Let's get to some headlines. These headlines are brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford.
We know trucks.
I mentioned it before we went to break. We do have some headlines to get to. The Miami Dolphins continue to sort out the damages from the hooligans and hoodlums that vandalized Hard Rock Stadium just days ago. We all saw the 72 club entrance completely broken up. We saw the escalator laying in ruins. Do you guys know how much it would be to get a new escalator installed there?
$75,000.
I'm going to go $101,000.
Wow, that is, what is this, Price is Right?
That's what I thought we were, I thought this was a game show.
I didn't think you were going to be guessing numbers.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, according to this article from EssentiallySports.com, home escalators costing up to $40,000 to install. Oh. Something of that standard is probably bigger than your normal one.
Well, what would you say, home escalator? Who has an escalator in their home?
Oh, hey, listen.
You know the people that have those chairs, and you hook the chair and it goes.
Oh, that would be a fraction of the price of the 72 Club escalator.
Still very expensive. Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. That's why I doubled it.
Yeah, so
I'm talking like Messi. Messi has an escalator in his home. Drake definitely has an escalator in his home.
Are you sure? Maybe just an elevator.
Maybe even that is extravagant for a home to have an elevator.
I mean, yeah. Why would you have an escalator when you can have an elevator?
Escalators are more fun though.
They are.
Like if you have the, like if you're going up to the second floor of something and you have the choice between an escalator and an elevator, you're going to choose the escalator.
I also feel safe.
You know why?
I can get out of it.
One reason.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to wait on the elevator.
That's true, but the escalator, still, it's more fun. I don't know.
How is it more fun? I constantly have to look down to make sure I don't fall.
Well, I mean,
I just
know, what are we doing here?
You didn't do it just now.
I know.
she almost
exactly why I was possibly
walking the chair. Like she went to sit down and she caught the chair with corner cheek.
Yeah,
and she was like, ah!
Wow! Right before we got on.
Sure, you check that out. You gotta look before you sit, especially with those rolling chairs. They'll get you.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I got gut.
Wow! You see, they did the top 10. Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Jackson, Stafford, Herbert, Stroud, Rodgers, Goff, and Prescott.
No Tua?
No Tua.
No Tua, of course.
Disrespected again.
This is, we talked about Pro Football Network's list, which excluded Tua from even being in the top 50.
I can't figure out.
Yeah.
This will be the first time in, like, the history of sports.
Yes.
Where there wasn't anything illegal involved that we just dismiss a guy that's led the league in a lot of these categories.
Except for playoff wins, does not lead the league in that category.
Okay, how many Herbert have?
Herbert, I think he's overrated.
When was the last time Rodgers had a playoff?
Oh, and they got Herbert number 6? Okay, yeah, that's not right.
Aaron Rodgers in that top 10.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers.
Joe Burrow didn't hardly play last year.
I mean, Rodgers, he's not what he used to be, but he is. I respect multi-time MVP and long-time Super Bowl champ.
Leroy hates Aaron Rodgers.
I don't hate Aaron Rodgers.
He hates Aaron Rodgers.
Here's my biggest take on Aaron Rodgers. He's won all those MVPs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If I gave the same identical numbers to Tua, just like they did with Peyton Manning, he only won one. For some reason, we give Aaron Rodgers a pass. Aaron Rodgers has lost more games with more talent than a lot of teams that we don't give a pass to.
Sure.
And so I'm saying, why does he get a pass? You can say because he did this years ago or he did that. Man, do you not realize what Peyton Manning lived with after only winning one? Right? Probably one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Yeah.
And then he got his second one and he had nothing to do with it.
He was full Weekend at Bernie's in the second one.
Right.
I think you're very critical of these losses.
That bothers me. That bothers me because now we call him a two-time Super Bowl champ. And if you watch that second Super Bowl, he had nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
Look, Aaron Rodgers, according to this stat, has lost 10 playoff games. 3 came in overtime, 4 in the conference championship, and 5 on the final play. It's not like he disappeared during these 10 losses.
Okay,
and whoever won.
So can I say that Tua's only been in the league and only really had playoffs twice, and you're acting like he's been doing it as long as Aaron Rodgers?
6 of those losses, the defense allowed more than 30 points.
I think if you're going to take anybody out of their top 10, you would take Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert.
And then I would say, Dak Prescott, very overrated.
No.
Overrated.
I get the same issues with Dak as I do with Tua.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the numbers are the numbers. Don't try to make the numbers something that you want them to make your point. They are what they are. So if you throw for 5,000 yards and you have, 30 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, those are good numbers. Those matter. Like, now we want to say, but those numbers don't mean anything because they don't win. Right? Dallas didn't win last year because they couldn't stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes your quarterback out of the game. So, I get it. I understand it. But to take and put, and especially in football, There's so many moving parts and so many people who play a role in winning or losing. We take it and put it around those 10 guys.
Yeah.
And that's probably what I have a bigger problem with. Now, there are going to be some moments, right? We don't break it down like this, but there's going to be moments where you want your quarterback to make that play. A couple of years ago, when Aaron Rodgers could have walked into the end zone and he patted around and threw it.
That's right.
Right?
That was a bad play.
Right. Yeah. For him.
For sure.
A guy that we give all these passes to. Yeah. I don't. This is the play we expect you, Aaron Rodgers, to make. Mm. Tua's not there yet. Tua's been playing quarterback, a comfortable quarterback, for his team for 2 years, and we're treating him like he's a 10-year vet. So, Dak Prescott, little different situation, right? Little different situation.
Why?
Because he's been doing it for a long time. Oh. He's been putting up numbers for a long time, but they still can't win.
Yeah, for sure.
You see what I mean? So if you took that same attitude towards Dak, I'd be a little less resistant.
Okay.
Because he's been playing the position for a while and playing it well for a while, but can't get over the hump. But there's been a lot of other quarterbacks. We said the same. We call Matthew Stafford. Yeah, everybody in the league said Matthew Stafford's one of the best passers of the football ever, and he hadn't won. He finally won, right? So now the best passer to ever do it has more credit? No, he's still that guy. So we pick and choose what guys get the pass. We pick and choose what guys we give that pass to, and we don't. For some reason, we treat Tua like he's been doing it for 15 years. Yeah. So I don't get it. It's the same thing in basketball. When you expect these guys in their second and third year, when the great Michael Jordan didn't win till his sixth or seventh, and everybody says the sweet spot of a basketball player is 26, 27, but now all of a sudden, 23, 24 years old, you've been playing 4 years, yeah. Why haven't you won a championship?
Hmm.
So I fight more about those things than about the actual player, right? There's only one player I've ever said, it's time to put up or I'm done. And believe it or not, it's with the Browns this year.
Oh!
Sean Watson.
Like, yeah. Come on, dude.
He's got to. I mean, with that contract,
everything that
he's done.
Wait.
Yeah.
With how successful this team has been without you. Think about that. First of all, Kevin Stefanski should be coach of the year every year because he's had 17 quarterbacks and they still win playoff games.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's incredible. So, yeah.
Well,
that's my rating.
But another part of the problem with Tua's perception is his own organization apparently doesn't believe him enough to give him an extension right now, and it's becoming a bigger story by the day.
It's not helping.
That does not help his perception at all.
Now the problem is there's two situations that I will criticize this organization about. Right, only two. I think Chris Greer's done a remarkable job of having young talent, bringing in veterans, having a nice little mix, filling the voids of the type of players they need. Mm-hmm. I do. Christian Wilkins and Tua. Those two guys, you backed yourself into a corner where you couldn't afford them.
100%. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because Tua gets more expensive by the day.
What? And here's what I would say. What Christian Wilkins did at that position far and exceeded any sack numbers. 100 tackles for a defensive tackle. I'm going to say this over and over again. You guys don't realize how impressive that is.
Yeah.
Now, to him, what's the difference for a defensive tackle between a tackle for loss and a sack? The position.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Guy had like 25, 26 tackles for loss.
Yeah.
That means he was disruptive in the backfield.
And last year he put up sack numbers.
Right.
It was the year
last
before,
year he put up the sack.
The year before
well,
he did.
This year he said, okay, I'm going to go get sacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Because evidently, see, here's what
that got him paid.
I hate when teams tell players, you're a company guy, you do what's needed to do to win. And then when it's time to pay you, go and look at the numbers.
Yeah, bingo.
And that's what happened with Christian Wilkins.
Yep. Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And so guess what he did? Oh, I can get sacks. I might not be my best version of myself, but I can get sacks. And then he started getting sacks. Now, was the team better? No, but he got his sacks.
Right.
So you got to be careful when you say a guy's a team player, he does whatever it takes to win. When it comes time to pay him, you better acknowledge what he does do. And they didn't do that with Christian Wilkins, and they lost him for absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Okay? Now with Tua. Tua right now is taking the path of a Kirk Cousins to where if you can franchise him, you do realize if you franchise him, you are going to strap your team even more.
Exactly. You get better cap.
Because that is a hard number.
Whereas,
1 year number where if you average $53 million or $55 million a year, it's a lot different than paying somebody $53 million a
year. Right, because you can load it with the signing bonus,
right.
You manipulate the cap, save money.
Right.
You don't save any cap money on the franchise.
If you franchise him and you got to pay him $55 million, your team's really going to hurt.
Yeah.
So they're putting themselves and they keep backing themselves up into these corners. I just wish, you could have paid him 50 a year ago. Could have paid him maybe 45 a year ago. No, we'll wait.
I just don't know why they would think that waiting would get them a better deal when that never happens with the quarterback market.
Right, exactly.
It may happen at certain other positions, maybe. Obviously, it didn't happen with Wilkins, but never happens at quarterback.
Never.
The numbers always go up, not down.
Also, I would like to believe that an organization takes pride in the guys that they drafted and brought in.
Right.
You let a first rounder who was productive go for nothing. And you're working on it with Tua.
Yeah, I think they were kind of not that they wanted it, but they were kind of be like, maybe he's going to get injured? Because that price goes down if you get injured.
Can I just say this?
Yeah.
Every NFL player, right, including myself, have had one of those years where you played the entire football season hurt. It sucks. Because guess what? The fans don't know. The team knows, but at the end of the year, they're going to look at your numbers and say, oh, well, you're declining. And it sucks because you really want to play. And so we sit here all the time. The only person that never, ever gets criticized for being hurt on a football field, right, is our left tackle.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
That's it. But everybody else, you get graded. Like, they'll say right now about one of the reasons why, who's the running back from San Fran?
McCaffrey.
Yeah.
No. Oh. He plays here.
Mostert. Yeah.
Yeah, Raheem Mostert.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why he couldn't make big, big money is because they're going to say, you fell off at the end of the year.
Right.
He was playing on one leg.
And he's about 30, right?
Right.
Which is usually,
but fell off. But that's because he's 30.
Right.
I mean, that's what they'll say.
Exactly.
But he also played with one leg.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, man. Like, you can't – if you want to keep it real, and I love what they've done with the players and how they take care of the players and whatever. But if you want to have – an organization that people look to, right? You need to show that if you're our guy, right, we're going to take care of you. Because now you're looking at other guys that came up with Christian Wilkins or around his time, they're looking at it like, I better get mine.
Right.
Now, when you say that, how does that affect what you do on the field? Because now you don't have to just perform for your team. You got to perform for every team.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
You're auditioning.
Right.
Leroy, why does your mic look like it's interviewing your nipple?
Dude, look, it's sorry.
What are you doing? Okay, I think we should go on break so we can fix the situation.
We gotta fix the microphone.
How's that? See, look.
I mean, yeah, it's not state. Like Jay Figg, she must have gotten here first because she took the best microphone. The rest of us are.
Look,
she didn't even want that seat, to be honest.
I said for Leroy to sit here and get the best microphone.
That's true. You did say that.
You sent a message by pigeon.
Man.
Right?
Okay, we got Joe Z and Don Bailey Jr. In the building.
Ooh. Yeah.
They're going to take pictures.
It's picture day.
Wearing uniform.
It is picture day here.
I thought maybe everyone's here to play the college football video game. I'd like to play against Joe Z.
We got it in the green room.
Although I can't play against Joe Z because we both want the Hurricanes. So.
Yeah, it's a little Hurricane. It's like a spring football game.
There you go. Team Orange versus Team White.
When we come back, we got more headlines to talk about. All-Star game tonight for the MLB. I got an old story from a moment during the All-Star game in 2001 that has lived on, but the truth behind it is a little bit darker than we can imagine. That and much more on the Tobin and Leroy Show.
I finally made it to the stage of missing you. So I listened to a song I shouldn't listen to. And it made me start to take apart the story of us. What it could have been and wasn't, and what it really was.
Is this Bieber or Ingrid?
This is Ingrid.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, another song that where she sounds way better than she sounded on the national anthem.
Yeah.
Guys, I am going to continue saying this.
Yeah. She just had a bad day?
She just had a bad day. I was reading some... I was reading more about yesterday because I honestly have not seen the video. I've only heard some of the audio, obviously.
Yeah.
There is a part that says after the song, she was actually pointing at her in-ears that they were not properly working.
Oh, I would if I knew I had a bad performance, I would totally blame
you. What's going on here? I do that all the time.
I've seen some of her performances previous to this, and I honestly think this was just a bad,
bad
day,
which bodes well for her.
Happened, and honestly. She is a very well-respected artist. She has 4 Grammy nominations. And
how many wins?
I think she's talented. I don't know.
How many wins? I mean, nominations are still pretty good, though. I mean, are you going to argue that?
I was nominated for a couple Grammys.
Were you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Daytime Grammys.
Yeah. Daytime Grammys. Nice.
I don't know.
Yeah, those are voted on by grandmas. Those are the good.
I think we should give her a little bit of more grace.
Honestly, I think, I'm telling you, what's going to happen is her ticket sales are going to go through the roof, and her song, I'm sure today on Spotify, she's having the hell of a day.
Oh, that's a great point, actually.
I'm sure. I really hope that out of this, she's able to redeem herself, because, and she's able to also...
She has talent.
Have a lot more sales.
She has the talent that'll back this up. People are going to go listen to her songs to determine if she's as bad as it sounded. And then they're going to find out, she's not that bad. And then they're going to add a couple songs. I'll tell you what. We've already played 4 songs today, and I had no idea who she was. And I guarantee that I won't forget who she is going on. So we can already say the marketing is extreme. No, they say no news is bad. Or wait, was it bad news? No news is good news?
Bad publicity is still good publicity?
There you go. Yeah. I combined like 3 different things there, but you get it. You get it.
So do you think, is it possible she may have tanked it on purpose? Because somebody may have advised her, if you go viral, because you're not going to go viral for a good national anthem. That's what's expected. You're a professional. You can go viral for a bad national anthem.
Exactly. That's the plan. That is exactly what I think happened there. And you know what? Kudos to her. Her career is going to be fine, but...
Yeah?
I think she'll be fine.
Speaking of the MLB All-Star festivities where this took place, this is a story that I saw this morning that kind of continues to circle around every time All-Star Week comes back. They covered this last year during All-Star Week as well. As Leroy comes storming in angry at something. I'm not sure what he's angry at. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with this story. You guys know Cal Ripken Jr., of course.
I've heard of him,
Definitely the epitome of consistency.
an Iron Man, if you will, before most people even use that terminology. Well, but
you didn't have maintenance days back when Cal Ripken was playing.
Now, this is a moment from 2001, and I'm playing this currently on our YouTube and Twitch, Miami 560 WQAM. This is to start the 2001 All-Star Game. At that time, Alex Rodriguez was the starting shortstop and probably at that point one of the top players in baseball. So it made sense for him to start there. But this being Cal Ripken's final All-Star game, A-Rod took it upon himself to say, hey, why don't we switch, dude? You deserve it. I have the utmost respect for you. You deserve to be put at shortstop there. And Yankees manager at that time, I believe that's Joe Torre.
That's Joe Torre. Yeah.
He's waving him as well. Hey, you know, you're the guy. Go to shortstop. Come on. And, you know, at this point, the crowd is into it. And you guys would agree, more or less, this seems like a gesture of respect, right?
Looks like a classy move.
Yeah, indeed. Now, come to find out, during this entire moment, while everyone is enjoying Mr. Ripken playing the position that he held down for so long, for what could be the final time in front of him, also in that game went on to...
He was the MVP, right?
Yeah, he hit a home run in that game. Oh, so
it's a good thing they let him play.
Yeah, absolutely. Cal Ripken actually was able to recount this moment during last year's All-Star Weekend with... Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, and a few others from MLB Network.
Wait, A-Rod and Jeter were in the same?
Indeed, this was last year. You know, they patched it up since then. But he actually revealed that during that moment, he was actually pissed at A-Rod.
Really?
And not something that he took as a kind gesture.
Because it was like charity?
Well, this is what Mr. Ripken had to say about the moment.
Feel familiar, Cal? We're back.
It's been a long time since I've been here, but when you do walk out here, it feels like you've been here before.
What do you remember of that, Al?
Let's get back to the position.
So, Kevin, what I remember is this is the guy that both Derek and I looked up admiring. Is the reason why I was able to stay short, being so tall. And I remember going to Japan with you in 96. And I just geeked out. Even when I heard you were here today, I got all nervous. I got all excited. And I just wanted, as a fan, to have you one more time in your position.
Well, now that you brought it back up, I was kind of pissed at you. With you. I was like looking at it. I hadn't been over there in a while. I got this big old glove on my hand that they made that they called humongous. I go, how am I going to go back over there and turn a double play with this glove? But I realized I was on a mic. They didn't do that a whole lot then. We were on a mic. You might have had a mic on too. So I had to choose my words very carefully until I found out, I look over and saw Joe going like this. Then I knew I had to go.
He
didn't want to play shortstop then.
He didn't want to play shortstop. Yeah. It had nothing to do about the gesture.
See, I thought maybe he was upset at the gesture because it's like, oh, you're doing me a favor. Maybe he was too prideful, but no, okay. He just didn't want to play shortstop.
I wish somebody had did that to me in the Pro Bowl.
Seems like,
I was the fullback, and guess who was the tailback?
Who?
Natrone Means.
Oh, man.
Isn't he bigger than you?
A lot bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that happen? What did every other tailback opt out of the?
Because here's,
sorry,
it had to do with positioning on the football field.
Right.
Nah.
So here's what happens. My whole career, I've been known as a fullback, and I never played a fullback a day in my life. So, but here's what happened: is you remember in Washington, Washington has the H-back, and the guy who carries the ball is the F. That's the offense we had.
Okay.
So the F was...
It was the F-back.
It was the F-back.
Huh.
So that's how I became a fullback while never playing fullback. And so what ended up happening is...
And people still hated the Pro Bowl when you played the Pro Bowl.
No, they didn't. People
still watched the Pro Bowl then. I don't know how much they were hitting.
I got a two-piece and a soda in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they still hit.
I got cleaned out on kickoff.
It was in the Pro Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
Now they play like 7-on-7 flag
football.
So
two-hand touch.
I wish Natron would have said, go ahead, I'll play it. Because it's just lining up.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It was torture. Because now I got to worry about not only the Pro Bowlers on the one side, I got to worry about this big Pro Bowler behind me hitting me in the back. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez.
So, yeah. Rough. So, like, I get it. It was a gesture, but it's weird because the midfielder's gloves are tiny.
Right.
Ah. And the edge gloves are kind of big because you're grabbing, you know what I mean? The little gloves in the middle, you're turning too. So
sure.
He was like, oh no, I don't want to screw up with this giant glove.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is the first thing you think of.
Yeah.
Not, oh, this is a kind gesture.
That makes sense. Yeah. He's right. Not thinking about the gestures. I don't want to embarrass myself on national TV.
Correct.
Tonight, the MLB All-Star Game continues. You guys know the representative for the Marlins.
It's a pitcher.
It is Tanner Scott.
Tanner Scott, and he might not be on the team after.
Indeed. As soon as the game is done, word is he will be joining the Yankees immediately.
Dang.
He's just going to take off his jersey and just put on a Yankees jersey. And then
I was wondering if they would have did it before. I bet you they had a conversation. Let's do it after the All-Star game, because then the Marlins, we would get Tanner Scott.
Get some representation.
Yeah. Right.
It's just strange that anytime anyone does anything good for the Marlins, you can already tell that, like, oh, he's going to be out. Very soon he's going to be out. I know Peter Bendix is only taking over for 1 year, but not looking good, dude. Not looking good at all. When we come back, we have our favorite Tuesday game. The damage is done, my friend. That's next on the Tobin and Leroy Show.
Damage is done.
Gone, gone, the damage done.
Damage is done, my friend. Time now for us to go around the room and determine where the damage has been done.
How about I go first?
Damage is done.
You got it.
All right, guys. It is about that time where Leroy checks out of the show.
Oh,
whoa.
He is outside. His food just got here, so you already know.
Our food is done.
Okay,
he's not
going to concentrate. He's going to fall asleep on that chair.
Correct. Good. That means
his attention span is damaged.
We have to load the backside of the show with a lot of games that will keep him entertained.
Yeah.
Can I go next? He's done, my friend.
Yes, please. Donna.
So we're going to be very unserious for the next.
Well, so I continue to read people's takes on X and on all the social media sites about how, you know, Miami and Hard Rock Stadium is now apparently unfit to host big events. Never mind the fact that we've hosted countless Super Bowls and national championship games and Formula One races because 7,000 hooligans decided to sneak through the air vents and rush the gates. That now disqualifies the city and the stadium from being able to host a big event. It's like, how about we hold the hooligans accountable? Because 7,000 people just deciding to sneak in, that's not a normal situation. We'll be prepared for that next time, but that was not a normal situation. So
it was not.
All these clowns out there saying, oh, this is not, that venue is not fit to host a big event. Damage is done.
You know what you guys are failing to realize?
What?
It's all posturing by the people who could get sued. That's what that's all about.
No, right? No one wants to be accountable
for it. So you put the other person out there. You put, say it's somebody else's fault. So then when all the people with the ticket problems come and try to sue you, you can say, well, hey, this is what we did. Right? That's what that's all about. That's why everybody came out right away and defended their position. That's all that is. You'll see. Watch. It's going to be back and forth. It's these people, it's these people. Well, they controlled it. They controlled it. We didn't have any say so in who did what. It's coming.
I think that already came. That happened.
Right.
I saw some articles yesterday.
Right. Mm. They're all doing it.
Well, Leroy, would you like to go next for damage is done? Or would you like
I'll go next.
All right.
I want to say this.
Okay.
I tried to, at the time, try to be nice about it because sometimes they put people to sing the national anthem, and you go, oh, that's sweet, right? You know, this guy came after three tours, and you know, and they let him sing the national anthem, and he's not going to sound like Sam Hunt, but he's going to pull it off or whatever. But let me tell you, as a professional, if I had ever gone out and performed to the level of that national anthem, I would have been booed, and I would have been taken off the field as soon as possible. Now, the fact that I've heard some of her music, and I like it, I still am scarred.
I don't think it was as bad as Kindergartner singing the national anthem.
It was pretty bad.
The high notes.
But it was. I don't care. The high notes. Sure. The whole song.
She could have grabbed her in ears. Okay.
She could have
signaled.
She didn't put the thing to the.
Let me ask this.
She couldn't hear herself.
Can I ask you?
Was that the in ears?
Was that the worst national anthem done by a professional singer?
Yes.
It's not the worst ever.
Yes.
No.
You know, Roseanne had an infamously bad one. She's not a singer. Carl Lewis, he's not a singer.
So, listen.
Flavor Flav.
No matter how well, how much I like your music, my eardrums are scarred. And the damage
how
is done.
How are they? I'm pretty sure they've already been
damage
scarred by other performances back in the day. Okay?
Not like that.
Are you serious?
I was watching it going, oh, bless her heart. I wonder what's wrong with her. Right? I didn't know she was a country artist.
Woo.
Look. Like it, I said,
wait, wait.
She
let's just take
had
this.
A bad day. Okay?
She had a bad day.
When her
in-ears
weren't working properly. Mm.
That was terrible.
It wasn't as bad as what? I will never say that was worse than when we saw Fergie at the NBA All-Star Game, okay?
Oh, that was bad, too. I forgot about that one.
Now, she took some liberties there,
Let's play some basketball!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You cannot tell me that's worse than that.
And you could tell. Let me
you
tell
can
you.
Tell there was still
no,
some range
the fans,
there.
No, oh, no, there was some range, all right.
Range
you heard
there.
The fans? They go, you know, because usually when they get to that part to the end, they'll start cheering or whatever.
Yeah.
Nothing. Crickets.
Look, I'm going to defend my girl there, okay? Yeah.
You can defend her all you want. That was terrible.
It wasn't good.
One it bad act good. Doesn't make a career, but
this is not going to kill her career, I think.
It's not going to kill it.
I think more people are going to notice who she is. They're going to go listen to her music.
Especially when you go, she hasn't gotten her adult voice since she's 32.
Ooh, I thought she was younger, okay? That's on me, okay? I thought she was younger.
Oh, my God, that's so bad.
She hasn't gotten her adult voice yet.
I didn't say that. It wasn't fully matured.
When I was a kid, just say, boy, you'll get tougher when your nuggets drop.
I'm 32. All right, my damage is done goes to Jaylen Brown.
Oh.
Yeah, not for being left off of the All-Star team, not for winning MVP, but for walking back some comments he made about LeBron James' son, Bronny. This video I'm about to show you here on our YouTube and Twitch, Miami 560 WQAM, depicts him, I believe his squeeze, as Tobin would say, an Angel Reese courtside at a summer league game where Bronny is on the court with his fellow Lakers. I'm going to show you the video here, but for those who are not watching, Brown can be quoted as saying, I don't think Bronny is an NBA player, to which you can see Angel Reese look at him and agree by saying, me either, and continue to explain his point of view on whether or not Bronny can make it. I don't think Bronny's a pro. Let's go back to read his lips. I don't think Bronny's a pro. Angel Reese, me either. I think he'll be on the G League team for sure. I hope so, but because of his name, he's going to be with the Lakers. So a little bit of nepotism, which we all see.
Jaylen Brown not necessarily taking a shot at him because he's saying it with a look on his face almost as if he's disappointed by the fact that Bronny isn't necessarily what he thought he may be. And unfortunately, Angel Reese, another professional basketball player, feels the same way. But that's not where the damage is done necessarily. He's being honest and he's speaking to someone, you know.
Well, because Bronny only does stand in the corner.
Yeah, and play. Yeah.
He plays
good defense, but you know, I don't know if it's like worth an NBA roster spot defense. But like I said, that's not where the damage is done. The damage is done is where Jaylen Brown then walks back his statements after saying, "I don't think he's a pro, and the only reason he'll be on the Lakers is because of his father." He then followed it up with this quote. "It's a flex to have your son alongside you in the NBA. It reflects greatness and longevity. Bronny has all the tools around him to be successful. I look forward to watching his growth."
Can I show Jaylen Brown a trick?
Yeah.
That all of the people who are more famous than you have learned?
Yes. Boom. There you go. The paper,
paper
or
over the face.
The jersey over the mouth that usually gets it done. But again, in his defense, he's courtside. You know,
they don't. You see, after
exactly
the,
when that's when you do it. The
when they meet at the games, when they meet at the games, when they're on the, they always talk behind the head.
Yeah, they know.
Absolutely,
they know.
Even that's Bam right. does that too.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Right. So you know, he's not used to being in the limelight because of Tatum, but now he's there. Yeah,
now he's there.
Be careful.
Absolutely. You do have to be careful with these things. And in my opinion, if I was him and it came out that I said this, I wouldn't necessarily double down, but I would emphasize the fact that this was a private conversation I had with my friend literally
that
inches away from
what
me.
Are you, crazy?
No, I'm saying, like, it's okay that I said this.
Wait.
I'm going to double down on this.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
There was an owner that lost his team.
Yes.
Over private conversation.
Correct.
Yeah, that were. I mean, those comments are. It wasn't the fact that it was private. It was the fact that those comments were really.
But you if private comments were private comments, you would have never known that.
That's true.
I think nothing that he said was bad, though. You know, it's not like he said Bronny sucks. He's just like, I don't think he's a pro, and a little bit of nepotism going on here.
What about Bruce Brown? Guys like Bruce Brown, guys that started like Bronny, but eventually became. Pretty good pros.
Yeah.
At D3 and doing things like that. Right?
Absolutely.
So,
are you talking about Bruce Bowen?
Bruce Bowen, sorry. Yeah.
Who's Bruce Brown? I think I know that name too, though.
Isn't there? There's a Bruce.
He played for UM.
Bruce Brown played for UM.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a Bruce Brown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But he is a D3 guy.
Oh, yeah, Bruce Brown.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also
all the Bruces were D3 and D guys.
So, and they all came through the Heat organization.
Yeah.
They got developed. And then they went out to have great careers. So, I get what he's saying, and he could be accurate in that right now because I don't see a whole lot of anything from Bronny. He picks his spots. He plays defense here and there. He's not, a pivotal piece in what anybody's doing at the moment. So, yeah, I can see why he would say that, but it doesn't mean he can't be. And that's the whole point. Because we've seen a lot of guys that we didn't think, like, especially down here, that we didn't think were going to be players and ended up getting big contracts and stuff like that. Look at all the free agents that get paid if you just come through these doors.
Yeah.
So, he didn't say anything wrong.
Nah.
But he got to learn. He got
to
learn.
Got to learn how to be in the limelight, huh?
You got to learn the hand trick.
All right, when we come back, second half of the show, we got more Silly Sauce. We got tickets to give away. We got Miami Heat talk, a stellar performance by an unexpected source on this Heat Summer League team, a.k.a. Good Riddance, Caleb Martin. More when we come back.
Gone, gone, the damage done.
Damage is done, my friend. Time now for us to go around the room and determine where the damage has been done.
How about I go first?
Damage is done.
You got it.
All right, guys. It is about that time where Leroy checks out of the show.
Oh, whoa.
He is outside. His food just got here, so you already know.
The damage is done.
Okay,
the damage is done.
He's
my
not going to concentrate. He's going to fall asleep on that
correct,
chair.
Correct. Watch. Good. That means we have
his attention span is damaged.
We have to load the backside of the show with a lot of games that will keep him entertained.
Yeah.
Can I go next?
The damage is done, my friend.
Yes, please. Don.
So we're going to be very unserious for the next.
Well, so I
remaining of the show. Really.
I continue to read people's takes on X and on all the social media sites about how, you know, Miami and Hard Rock Stadium is now apparently unfit to host big events. Never mind the fact that we've hosted countless Super Bowls and national championship games and Formula One races because 7,000 hooligans decided to sneak through the air vents and rush the gates. That now disqualifies the city and the stadium from being able to host a big event. It's like, how about we hold the hooligans accountable? Because 7,000 people just deciding to sneak in, that's not a normal situation. We'll be prepared for that next time, but that was not a normal situation. So
it was not.
All these clowns out there saying, oh, this is not, that venue is not fit to host a big event. Damage is done.
You know what you guys are failing to realize?
What?
It's all posturing by the people who could get sued. That's what that's all about.
No one wants to be accountable
for it. So you put the other person out there. You put, say it's somebody else's fault. So then when all the people with the ticket problems come and try to sue you, you can say, well, hey, this is what we did. Right? That's what that's all about. That's why everybody came out right away and defended their position. That's all that is. You'll see. Watch. It's going to be back and forth. It's these people, Well, they controlled it. They controlled it. We didn't have any say so in who did what. It's coming.
I think that already came. That happened.
Right.
I saw some articles yesterday.
Right. Mm. They're all doing it.
Well, Leroy, would you like to go next for damage is done? Or would you like
I'll
to
go next. Next?
All right.
I want to say this.
Okay.
I tried to, at the time, try to be nice about it because sometimes they put people to sing the national anthem and you go, oh, that's sweet. Right? You know, this guy came after three tours and, you know, and they let him sing the national anthem and he's not going to sound like Sam Hunt, but he's going to pull it off or whatever. But let me tell you, as a professional, if I had ever gone out and performed to the level of that national anthem, I would have been booed and I would have been taken off the field as soon as possible. Now, the fact that I've heard some of her music and I like it, I still am scarred.
I don't think it was as bad as
Kindergartner
singing
the national anthem.
It was pretty bad.
The high notes.
But it was. I don't care. The high notes. Sure. The whole song.
After the performance, she grabbed her in-ears. Okay?
She could have
signaled.
She didn't put the thing to the
ear. Let me ask this.
She couldn't hear herself.
Can I ask you? Was that the worst national anthem done by a professional singer?
Yes.
It's not the worst ever.
Yes.
No.
You know, Roseanne had an infamously bad one. She's not a singer. Carl Lewis, Nash, he's not a singer.
So, listen.
Flavor Flav.
No matter how well, how much I like your music, my eardrums are scarred. And the damage
how
is done.
Are they, I'm pretty sure they've already been
damage
scarred by other performances
not like
back
that.
In the day. Okay?
Not like that.
Are you serious?
I was watching it going, oh, bless her heart. I wonder what's wrong with her. Right? I didn't know she was a country artist.
Woo.
Look. Like it, said,
wait, wait.
She
let's just take
had
this.
A bad day. Okay?
She had a bad day.
When her in-ears weren't working properly. Mm.
That was terrible.
it wasn't as bad as...
It wasn't as bad as what?
I will never say that was worse than when we saw Fergie at the NBA All-Star Game, okay?
Oh, that was bad, too. No. I forgot about bad. That one. Whoa, forgot about whoa, that. Whoa,
whoa. Now, she took some liberties there,
Let's play
okay?
some basketball!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You cannot tell me that's worse than that.
And you could tell. Let me
you
tell
can
you.
Tell there was still some rage
the fans,
there.
No, oh, no. There was some rage, all right. Rage you heard there. The fans? They go, you know, because usually when they get to that part to the end, they'll start cheering or whatever.
Yeah.
Nothing. Crickets.
Look, I'm going to defend my girl there, okay?
You can defend her all you want. That was terrible.
It wasn't good.
One bad act good. Doesn't make a career, but...
This is not going to kill her career, I think.
It's not going to kill it.
I think more people are going to notice who she is. They're going to go listen to her music.
Especially when you go, she hasn't gotten her adult voice since she's 32.
Hey, well, I thought she was younger, okay? That's on me. That's on me, okay? That's on me. I thought she was younger.
Oh, my God. That's so bad.
She hasn't gotten her adult voice.
I didn't say that. It's like saying that it wasn't fully matured.
When I was a kid, just say, boy, you'll get tougher when your nuggets drop.
I'm 32.
All right, my damage is done goes to Jaylen Brown.
Oh,
yeah, not for being left off of the All-Star team, not for winning MVP, but for walking back some comments he made about LeBron James' son, Bronny. This video I'm about to show you here on our YouTube and Twitch, Miami 560 WQAM, depicts him, I believe his squeeze, as Tobin would say, an Angel Reese courtside at a summer league game where Bronny is on the court with his fellow Lakers. I'm going to show you the video here, but for those who are not watching, Brown can be quoted as saying, I don't think Bronny is an NBA player, to which you can see Angel Reese look at him and agree by saying, me either, and continue to explain his point of view on whether or not Bronny can make it. I don't think Bronny's a pro. Let's go back to read his lips. I don't think Bronny's a pro. Angel Reese, me either. I think he'll be on the G League team for sure. I hope so, but because of his name, he's going to be with the Lakers. So a little bit of nepotism, which we all see. Jaylen Brown, not necessarily taking a shot at him because he's saying it with a look on his face, almost as if he's disappointed by the fact that Bronny isn't necessarily what he thought he may be. And unfortunately, Angel Reese, another professional basketball player, feels the same way. But that's not where the damage is done necessarily. He's being honest and he's speaking to someone, you know.
Well, because Bronny only does stand in the corner.
Yeah, and play. Yeah.
He plays
good defense, but, you know, I don't know if it's like worth an NBA roster spot defense. But like I said, that's not where the damage is done. The damage is done is where Jaylen Brown then walks back his statements after saying, I don't think he's a pro. And the only reason he'll be on the Lakers is because of his father. He then followed it up with this quote. It's a flex to have your son alongside you in the NBA. It reflects greatness and longevity. Bronny has all the tools around him to be successful. I look forward to watching his growth.
Can I show Jaylen Brown a trick?
Yeah.
That all of the people who are more famous than you have learned?
Yes. Boom. There you go. The paper or
the
jersey over the mouth that usually gets it done. But again, in his defense, he's courtside. You know.
They don't. You see after
exactly.
The game,
that's when you do it the
most. When they meet at the games, when they meet at the games, they always talk behind the head.
Yeah, they know.
Absolutely.
They know.
Even Bam does that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So, you know, he's not used to being in the limelight because of, you know, Tatum. But now he's there.
Now he's there.
Be careful.
Absolutely. You do have to be careful with these things. And in my opinion, if I was him and it came out that I said this, I wouldn't necessarily double down, but I would emphasize the fact that this was a private conversation I had with my friend literally
that
inches away from me.
What, are you crazy?
No, I'm saying, like, it's okay that I said this.
Wait.
I'm going to double down on this.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
There was an owner that lost his team.
Yes.
Over private conversations.
Correct. Yeah, that were. I mean, those comments are. It wasn't the fact that it was private. It was the fact that those comments were really.
But you would, if private comments were private comments, you would have never known that.
That's true.
I think nothing that he said was bad, though. You know, it's not like he said Bronny sucks. He's just like, I don't think he's a pro, and a little bit of nepotism going on here.
What about Bruce Brown? Guys like Bruce Brown. Yeah. Guys that started like Bronny, but eventually became pretty good pros.
Yeah.
At D&3 and doing things like that, right?
Absolutely.
So,
are you talking about Bruce Bowen?
Bruce Bowen, sorry. Yeah.
Who's Bruce Brown? I think I know that name, too, though.
Isn't there? There's a Bruce.
He played for UM.
Bruce Brown played for UM.
Yeah, there was a Bruce Brown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
but he is a D&3 guy.
Oh, yeah, Bruce Brown,
absolutely.
Yeah. Also,
all the Bruces were D&D guys.
So, and they all came through the Heat organization.
Yeah,
they got developed, and then they went out to have great careers. So, I get what he's saying, and he could be accurate in that right now because I don't see a whole lot of anything from Bronny. He picks his spots. He plays defense here and there. He's not, you know, a pivotal piece in what anybody's doing at the moment. So, yeah, I can see why he would say that, but it doesn't mean he can't be. And that's the whole point. Because we've seen a lot of guys that we didn't think, like, especially down here, that we didn't think were going to be players and ended up getting big contracts and stuff like that. Look at all the free agents that get paid if you just come through these doors.
Yeah.
So, he didn't say anything wrong.
Nah.
But he got to learn. He got
to
learn.
Got to learn how to be in the limelight, huh?
You got to learn the hand trick.
All right, when we come back, second half of the show, we got more Silly Sauce. We got tickets to give away. We got Miami Heat talk, a stellar performance by an unexpected source on this Heat Summer League team, a.k.a. Good riddance, Caleb Martin. More when we come back.